Uber drivers in this country have staged another strike in their ongoing battle to improve their working conditions. The strike was organised by a group called Rideshare Drivers United. That's an organisation representing ride-sharing drivers worldwide. The organisation claims that thousands of drivers took part in protests around the world, in Australia, in Britain, in the United States and in New Zealand. And the strikes reflect growing unrest amongst some drivers and workers generally in the gig economy. Last month, food delivery company Foodora went into administration as it faced a sham contracting case, with workers fighting to prove that they weren't contractors but actually employees. Associate Professor Sarah Kane from the University of Technology in Sydney, the Business School Studies, has had a look at the transformation of workplace relations in the digital economy. Sarah Kane, welcome to Breakfast.
Thanks, Fran.
So yesterday we saw another round of protests from Australian Uber drivers who are getting fed up with their working conditions. What is the key gripe of Uber drivers? What are they protesting about?
Look, there are several things that they're concerned about, including continuing changes to their conditions, their rates of pay, their contracts by Uber. One of the things that has particularly concerned to them has been the end of the initiation of upfront pricing by Uber, which means that it gives certainty to consumers, to the clients, about the price they're going to pay for a ride. But drivers say that it underestimates how much the rides cost them. So they're also not happy with the commission that Uber takes, which tends to be between 22 and 25% of each fare. So there's of issues that there's been ongoing concern about. And I think the icing on the cake for them is that they haven't received a response to sort of these ongoing issues over a period of time from Uber.
So most of us, I think, don't exactly know how Uber drivers are paid. As you say, you get a quote when you're in an Uber and it gives you an upfront price, and that might not take into account, as it does with a taxi, how long the trip takes, if there's traffic in the way, if you have to take detours, all of that. But is it true that there is no minimum payment for an Uber driver? What is the issue, really?
That is true. There is no minimum payment because Uber drivers are seen as independent contractors, so they don't receive a minimum payment. And it means that Uber just takes their percentage on whatever the ride is and whatever they've determined the cost of that ride is. So it leaves drivers in a very uncertain situation with regards to their earnings and with any capacity to do anything. That they just have to accept the prices Uber sets.
I've also heard talk that Uber drivers, people have been driving for a while, say their takings have been going down considerably because it's always revised. The amount of money they get is always revised. Is that fair, that initially when Uber arrived in the country, drivers were on pretty good wicket and it's really been whittled away?
It doesn't seem to be fair, and this is, you're right, one of the key concerns. And I guess the problem with this is that for drivers, when they turn on their app, there could be a message from Uber saying, we're wanting to vary your contract. Now, either drivers press yes and accept those terms and conditions, like all of us do when we're downloading an app, and then they keep access to the app and they can keep driving. Mm-hmm. If they say no, they no longer drive for Uber. So there's not a whole lot of leverage for them to do anything about this situation when they find out that arbitrarily their conditions, their rates have been changed.
So do the Uber drivers have any recourse in the gig economy?
The short answer is no. So we have, determined so far that Uber drivers are independent contractors. That means they fall outside of our industrial relations system, and that means there's very little recourse in terms of arguing with or confronting Uber or any of the other companies about wages and conditions. Of course, in theory, they're allowed to because they're independent contractors. Mm. But when you've got 80,000 people signed up to be Uber drivers in Australia, one expressing dissatisfaction to Uber is probably not going to get Uber to move.
It's also an increasingly crowded market, so the competition is only get more fierce, I expect. And Uber, for instance, is a company that's not actually making a profit around the world. So as the markets get more crowded with these rideshare companies, just to stay in the driving space, more pressure will come on. There is an example, though, in New York City. The Uber drivers or the rideshare drivers have managed to get some protections. I think that the powers that be have given more regulatory powers around how many cars can come on to the roads at one time. And also they have set this notion of a minimum payment. So it's not a minimum wage, it's a minimum payment. How exactly does that work in New York? And is that a model that Uber drivers here are trying to get in place?
Look, definitely the idea of a minimum rate is something that Uber drivers here very interested in and wishing to pursue. But I think one of the most interesting things about the New York conditions that have been imposed is that they are reimposing some conditions on the market.
Yeah.
So they are saying there's going to be only a certain number of cars. We're going to view this situation because at the moment there's up to 40,000 rideshare cars that are empty, that don't have clients in them, circling New York City, which does not help with conditions. And we're seeing the same kinds of things in Australia as well. One of the key things is the limiting of how many people can enter the market as rideshare. Very low barriers to entry. You need to have a decent car and you can become a rideshare driver, which means that, of course, that puts downward pressure on the market altogether and puts downward pressure on the rates that are received by drivers. So that's exactly the same kind of thing that's been called for here. And I understand, particularly in Queensland, that rideshare have been pushing for those kinds of market restrictions.
It's a significant change, though, isn't it? The notion of regulation in these free market digital platforms. The whole point about them when they came in was that they weren't regulated to some degree, but it's putting fairness over free market. Who's going to be in charge of that?
Well, I think what it shows is the people who, the groups decided that we needed disruption and no regulation were the organisers themselves. While, of course, there's been innovation and a benefit to consumers, there was a reason why these markets were regulated in the first place. Regulation doesn't spring from nowhere. So there was a reason why, point-to-point transport taxis were regulated to begin with. And
yes,
one of the reasons was that you didn't want a market that was so flooded that you didn't have fairness for those people engaged in work. So it's not altogether a surprise that we're ending up pretty close, or we may end up pretty close to where we started, perhaps with more competition and hopefully with better choice for consumers.
Okay.
But certainly closer to fairness.
Sarah Kane, thank you very much for joining us.
Thanks, Fran.
Sarah Kane, Associate Professor at the UTS Business School in Sydney, and apologies for the quality of that line and some of our lines this morning. We're trying every platform we can to get you a decent interview.